Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
They asked me to introduce Rob Owens, but I really feel just to do the message this morning. When Pastor Josh said to me last night, he said, "Dad, I just think it would be great if you introduced Rob Owens. I could take all of his ministry time telling you about the man that I went to the first time, and he had this incredible church in Reno, Nevada. And Sonny and I always wonder, what are we going to wear? And we always go based on what the pastor wears. We are in his house, and so we follow suit. And so Rob came out in a clerical collar, red coaching shorts, and tennis shoes. And I said to Sonny, I got nothing. There's no way. I just started taking my tie off, my jacket off, down to the t-shirt. And so he had a way to come to a city that was unchurched and bring the gospel in such a creative way. I don't really like being around anybody above 60. Because they just want to talk about their medicines and the people that have died recently in their lives. And it's depressing. And so people that are over 50, you're off limits in my life. Just joking. Okay. Now, Maria and John, you're good. Now, I'll tell you if you're good. Okay. But the bottom line is, anybody that would do an Iron Man on his honeymoon, that's a special man. Maybe special in more than one way, but he always has loved the challenge. And now that this year he turned 70, he's kind of like a hero or role model to me. Of you just don't give up. You just don't quit taking challenges. You just continually reinvent yourself. And I guess the thing I admire him about the most is I told him on the way to speak at the men's meeting yesterday, I said, I've watched you take some shots in life. I mean, some hard shots. You can't live and not do life. And I've watched you, and I watched the resilience. I've watched how you just bounced back. And I admire that about you, Rob Owens. You don't just preach it, you live it. I want you to stand with me and welcome to this house this morning this great man of God that's got a word for you, Rob Owens.
You may be seated. Before you sit down, stand back up. Turn around to three or four people, give them a high five and say, "I'm glad you're here today. You sang good." Okay. Good morning. It's good to be here. And it's always fun to be back with Pastor Josh and with Bishop and his wife and Corinne and just be in this house. I just like it here. Absolutely. It's just fun to come. You did good this morning, Josh. Thank you. Corinne, you did good this morning. I had some feelings come up inside me that I didn't want. And the Lord goes, what's the deal? They go, oh, crud. It was fun to be with the men yesterday. We had a good time. And we wish many of you others would have been able to be with us. Gosh, I don't even know where to start. Your pastor, Josh, asked me if I'd speak a message on no excuses. And I said, well, that's no fun. That sort of sucks. I mean, that's, who wants to go to church and hear that thing, you know? Because it digs to the core of all of us. Right?
Right.
And so I wrestled with it. But on the other hand, let me just say, I pastored for 25 years. I planted a church. And so I have a merciful side. I'm a kind man at times. I've buried lots of people and said I'm sorry, and I cried with them. I can be sensitive. But there's another side of me that is, what's your deal? Get it together.
Exactly.
Kind of a guy. And next week I'll be training 57 Navy SEAL, Army Ranger, pararescue candidates in 50 hours nonstop. We'll kick their butts. And they say, you don't act like a pastor, and you don't sound like a pastor. And I say, because I'm not a pastor. What's your problem? And so this morning, I'm going to try to walk that fine line. Yes, Pastor Josh? I'm going to walk that fine line of trying to be kind, but on the other hand, saying, what's your excuse? Because this is what he says to me. I'm going to give you an overflow of what he deals with me about in my life. This thing about no excuses. Okay. The first thing that comes to me on the topic of that is the scripture of Jesus saying in Luke 22, not my will, but thy will be done. Like, who wants to go to the cross? Would you please go to the cross? Do I have to? If you could take this cup from me, I'd really appreciate it. But since you don't want to take it away from me, I guess I'll do what you want me to do. But it isn't what I want to do. And I wish there was another way around this. But if you say this is what I need to do, then I guess I need to get on the cross and die, because there's a bigger picture here and a bigger story. But it was about me and my flesh. I probably wouldn't choose to go out that way, if at all. And I think of that because all the time the Lord is asking me to do things that I don't want to do. This is my 50th year in Jesus. I don't want any claps. I just it's been a journey. As Pastor says, along the journey, life is good and life is difficult.
Yes.
And you take shots. You have 5 kids. Some end up in jail. You have sickness. You bury friends. You bury your parents. You go through stuff. There's disagreements. There's heartache. There's disappointments. And every decade is different. But the same thing is in each decade. Are you going to do my will? Are you going to do what I'm asking you to do? You want to sing these songs, then do them. But I don't feel like doing them. Or it's not convenient to do them. Or they don't deserve to be forgiven. But if the theme is, not my will, but thy will be done, if my life was really given to him, not sprinkle some salvation dust on me to get me to heaven, but down here to live in such a way that glorifies him and you live for him, and then you get to go to heaven, bada bing, and it's over. But down here you have a job to do. That's to extend the kingdom of God, live it, model it.
Right.
Then he's going to always wrestle with your flesh and your identity and your will, because our will is opposed to his will. And maybe the first 3 years in Jesus, you get away with some stuff and you work on some things. But then he says at the five-year mark, what are you still doing that for? Why are you still thinking that? Why are you still acting like that? When are you going to grow up? Hello?
Yes.
And if you're a visitor here today, I'm really sorry you're here. Because you probably came for some happy, uplifting, wonderful, all excited, I'll sweat, I'll go nuts, kind of a thing. But he gave me this topic of no excuses. And when I work with these kids next week who want to do extraordinary things, and I work with people that want to do extraordinary things.
Right.
They're overcomers. They're exceptional. They dream big dreams. They don't like average and mediocre. And they say that they want to do stuff, and I say, do it. And then they look at you, and I go, what's your excuse? And they just stare at you. And then I say, that excuse won't cut it today. Get it together or you're gone. I love you, but you didn't come in ready for the game. Game's tough.
Yeah.
Game's hard.
Yes.
Life's hard. Family can be hard. Relationships can be hard. Economic downturns can be hard. COVID can be hard.
Correct.
In this world, you're guaranteed tribulations. In this world, you shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, because I'm going to walk with you through them, and you'll get through them.
Right.
When I went, you know, when I lost my house, had a house for $2.5 million, and it went on the market for $700,000. All my life savings was out.
Yep.
My paper got sold four times, ended up in India. I was told by the leading judge of the county, don't make another house payment. It's over.
Right.
You're done. I said, no, no, no. There's got to be a way to work through this hardship.
Right.
He says, it's out of control.
Right.
You can't do anything. The tsunami has come in. The liquor stores are gone. The churches are gone. The schools are gone. When the tsunami, when it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, life happens.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I tithe. Yeah, well, the tsunami took out everything you got. Because when life happens, sometimes there's collateral damage.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
No, it
but it's life. And so I work with men and women where I say to them, if you don't get control of your mind, you'll make a mistake.
Right.
If you don't think right, you're going to make a mistake. And that may be a mini mistake or it may be a huge mistake.
Correct.
And so in taking this thing about no excuses, it goes deeper than that. And I wrote this down. Here's my intro. See if you like it. Excuses. I have them. Say, I have them.
I have them.
We have them.
We have.
Everybody has them.
Everybody.
And then I'll do the rest. Some know and are aware of their excuses. Some don't. Some have lived with them so long that they don't know who they are without their excuses. You know, pastoring, I didn't like it a lot. And I wasn't good at counseling. Like, what's your problem? You want to deal with it or you want to complain? And they'd say, you're not very kind. And I'd say, well, what do you want me to do? I heard it last month and the month before and the month before. Change your diaper. I mean, what do you want me to do? Say, I'm sorry again? And really? Again? And oh, my, again? God, I'm really tired. I have them too. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
But I have a type A personality, and so it's not always the best for pastoring. But I told people, I say, let me, in my early rookie pastor years, because I'm a first generation pastor, I didn't have a clue what pastoring was or church. I just loved Jesus, and I got stuck with the church. Like, what do I do with this thing? I don't know what to do with it. What do I do with all these people? And they'd bring me their problems. They didn't have challenges and opportunities, they had problems. And so I'd say, and then I'd say, and they'd say, and I'd say, why don't you try this? And they'd come back and give me the same problem. And I'd work on it, and I'd say, and they go, and I'd say, when are you going to do it and get over it?
Right.
But they didn't want to get over it. They just want someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And as long as they could talk to me, they'd wear me out. So I'd say, if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm not going to talk to you anymore about it. Because I've already told you 10 times. But you don't want to get fixed. You want your excuse. And they'd say, you're severe. I'd say, no, I'm real. I mean, your kids, you're going to inherit your excuses. Your wife, your husband's going to get your excuses. Your in-laws and your next-door neighbors and the church. We're stuck with your stuff because you carry your stuff. You don't want to get over it. And I'd say, if I took that excuse out of your life, and this is what happened, they'd say, and they'd bring me another one because they didn't know what they were or who they were without their excuses.
Right.
Because it was their identity. I've always been like this. My mom and dad were been like this. My cousins are like this. Our community is like this. My background is like this.
Right.
I don't care what Jesus say.
Yeah. Amen.
But this is who we are. No. This is who you are in him, and that's who you choose to stay and walk in, right? There are personal excuses. There are cultural excuses. There are family excuses. There are historic excuses, and there are generational excuses. What do excuses do? Number one, they rob us of a better future. Number two, they keep us from solving a present problem and situation. Number three, they limit our growth. Number four, they stop God's plan for your and your family's lives. And number five, they deny reality.
That's good.
Why do we have them? Because we don't want to do the hard thing.
Correct.
We don't want to do the hard thing. Whatever hard is to you. Eating, drinking, sleeping, bitterness, anger, irresponsibility, facing the truth. We all have excuses. But they all are to there to keep us from doing the hard thing. And Jesus said, if you want me to go to the cross, it's probably the hardest thing you're going to ask me to do, but I'll do it.
Right.
And here's the deal. Immature people always have excuses.
Yeah.
Immature people are always undisciplined. And they live by how they feel every day. How do I feel? I feel like eating. I watched some people the other day. I had them over and we had food everywhere. And it was just mindless eating. I just knee-jerk, just eating, 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 eating. They called it snacking. And I like food.
Yep.
But I also know when the Lord says, don't, then I have to say, no, I'm going to do it. And the Lord says to me all the time, don't. And I go, no. Holy Spirit, I want to do it. It's not all on some eating crusade, but at our age, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, if you feed the monster, it'll come.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And what you do in your young life sets you up for your old life.
That's correct.
And I want to camp on this last point that was I just spoke on this. God is always going to ask us to do the hard thing with 10 minutes left. That's going to be really hard to get this done in 10 minutes. And if you want to know where you are in your Christian walk, how are you doing with the hard things? And I believe that there is a battle in the mind over doing the hard things. Because the Holy Spirit is after us to change, to be more like Him, think more like Him, act more like Him, dream more like Him, imagine more like Him. But there's always obstacles and barriers to where He wants to take you, and there's a bunch of hard things that you have to work through if you're going to go that direction. And so it's not that I'm a military guy when I'm out of the pastorate, but it is that I believe that every day you should work on taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And it should be a battle every day to take control of your mind to do the right thing and the hard thing so you can live the victorious life.
Yes.
And come into your destiny and your future. And I believe that Christians, as well as people, are lazy. And lazy. If you're anything like me, I have a laziness inside me. I have a slothfulness inside me. I have an excuse or buckets of excuses or file cabinets of excuses inside me. And every day, from the moment I get up, I battle with how I want to think that day. Do I want to believe these songs I just sang? This is how I fight the battle. This is how I fight the battle. It's a piece of cake in here to sing them. It's another thing to go and say, I put it under the blood when you've just been in a car wreck. You know, or your kid's been sick, or you got fired, or something happens. I love being in church. It just doesn't work out there unless you apply it.
Right.
And so my testimony is that for 50 years I've been struggling with trying to do the right thing and say no excuses. And it's been painful to wrestle with me. And I believe that God has hard things in your life on purpose for you to wrestle with to develop you into being who He wants you to be. And you and I prefer to dodge the bullet and find an easier way or not do it in our lives. Thank God that when I got saved, my pastor said to me, I was a punk 20-year-old who had a history of being wild and jail and just nuts, you know. He said to me, make a list of every single person you need to go back and say you're sorry to.
Right.
And I went, are you kidding me? Like, what are you going to do with a list? I'm going to make you go back to all of them and say you're sorry. That'll kill me. He said, make a list. I want to see it. He said, you got saved? You need to go repent to people. Who are they?
Right.
And I went, I don't want to do that. Out of ponytail. I was, hey, don't mess with me. You know, Jesus, you love me now, right? I'm forgiven. I'm saved. It's under the blood. It's under the blood with Jesus, but it's not under the blood with them.
That's right.
You stole from them. You lied to them. You used them. And they're not going, oh, praise the Lord, he's a Jesus guy now. They're going, I still want his head. And they had the right to be mad at me. And he said, I need you to do the hard thing. Go back and say you're sorry to the girls, the employers, the friends, and ask for forgiveness. And I went, oh, my God. But what happened after I did that 3 months worth of work? I never want to do that again in my life. I'm never going to mess up again ever. I'm never going to do this again. And I learned I didn't want to mess up because I didn't want to have to go repent.
Right.
And he made me do the hard thing right off the bat. You want in? You want in the game? You want to be a Christian? Go repent. Ask for forgiveness. I hope never I see him. I don't want to see him ever again. Go find him and say you're sorry. Oh. Is there any other way I could do this? Can I send him a postcard? Letter? Call him? No, face to face. Go back and say you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. I don't know if I want to be a Christian. It's hard.
Yeah.
Nobody else has to do it. Why do I got to do it? Because you want in. Not my will, but thy will be done, right?
Right.
Sing that song again, Robert. Don't do that. I'm not going to sing that song ever again. What are the hard things in your life that God is saying to you, every day, I want you to wrestle and get a victory over this issue in your life. And I would encourage you to make a list. Because these songs don't work unless you live them. And it's a lie to sing them and not apply them. And the reason I'm over here sitting down this morning was a couple tears coming out of my eyes because the Lord's going, and I go, I got nothing to say because I know better.
Right.
How about you? How many of you know better? But immature people are undisciplined people. And they live by their emotions. Their mouth just does the emotional thing. Say what I want to say. Do what I want to do. Act the way I want to act. Don't think about tomorrow or the next day or the ramifications. I'm just going to be me and do what I want to do. Leave me alone. Immature people. And the goal of the Word of God is to mature us. And the Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or chapter 11 in the communion, if we had judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. But most of us don't have the character to judge ourselves. Therefore, we need police, doctors, institutions to judge us because we can't be mature enough to deal with our own stuff. It's called self-government.
Right.
And the more people that don't have self-government, the more things, institutions need to be put around us to keep us in place or bury us. But if we had judged ourselves and our excuses, we would not come under judgment, which means how mature are you to be able to judge yourself? Or do you need somebody else? Do you need the doctor to say, why are you still doing that? Do you need the police to say, why are you still doing that? The banker saying, why are you still doing that? The credit card people, we'll take your money because you just can't stop spending. Whenever you get sideways emotionally, you just go spend. Or you go eat. Or you go mouth. Or you do whatever you do because you don't want to deal with the real cause that you're screwed up. You're messed up. And sanctification is him cleaning us up little bit by little bit all of our lives. The Holy Spirit says, I really don't want you to do that anymore. You've been in the Word for how long? And you still act, say, look like that, blah, blah, blah. Why? Because I have excuses, institutional excuses, that allow me to be who I am and not judge myself. How many still like me? How many are still glad I came? So I say that to say we all have excuses. And just when I think I'm in the game, I'll just be exposed to another excuse that I have to not want to do what he wants me to do. And the journey starts over again. And the suffering starts over again. And the mental debate starts over again. But if I'd learned to take every thought captive every day, I don't have problems, I have challenges. Challenges are positive, problems are negative. If If I would just do what he wants me to do and take control of my mind and wash my mind every day with his ways and then say, Lord, forgive me and now strengthen me to do your will today, no matter what you want me to do, whether I like it or not. I just told Bishop yesterday the men had all this food and I had a cup of coffee and I got to that food and I really wanted to eat it. And my inner head said, don't eat it. You don't need it. But I want it. You don't need it. And it's legit. It's good food. It's blessed food. It's a fellowship. Robert, how many years do I have to tell you? You don't need it. Don't eat it. What do? I looked at it, went, I'm not going to eat it. Every day, there should be a hard thing in your life that you wrestle with. And it develops character. And it builds a warrior within you, and it builds an overcomer with you because you take yourself on every day. And every day there's something to take on in your life if you want to grow. Otherwise, you have excuses, like everybody else. Amen? Don't clap. I don't like this message. Don't clap. How many today are willing to look in the mirror and go, I need to deal with my flesh, with my mind, with my hurts, my anger, my disappointments, and trust God and say, Lord, strengthen me. I'm not thin because I like to be thin. I'm thin because he's wrestled with me about my body. I'm adopted. I have no medical history. I know nothing about myself. But the doc said the best health insurance you have is staying in shape and staying healthy. It'll ward off all the stuff that you don't know that's going to come at you over your life. So if you want to pay a medical premium, it's great. But the medical premium will work if you stay healthy. Much better. So when COVID hit and it knocked me out, doc said, you know why you got through that COVID real good? You had no pre-existing conditions and you're in shape. And I went, hallelujah, it worked. But it took a lot to say, I want to stay in shape and be healthy when everybody else around me is enjoying everything. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. And I thank you that you're here. And I thank you that you've called us to be overcomers, not excuse-minded, excuse-cemented in people. And that every day you've called us to wrestle with our family background or our marriage issues or our kids or our finances. You've called us to wrestle with our health and our habits. We know what's right, and then we choose to disobey. And immature people choose to disobey. And if we would judge ourselves, we'd not come under judgment like this world. And I pray a blessing on this church, and I pray maturity on this church, and I pray growth on this church, and healing on this church. And deliverance on this church. And blessing on this church. Because we have learned the thing that we deal with our stuff or our stuff deals with us. And I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time today. To be in your presence and think and evaluate and reboot our minds and our hearts. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for Pastor Josh and Corinne, Bishop and Sonny, and the table that's set before us this morning. May we eat of it. And if you're bringing guests here today, we bless them. And we thank you that they dropped in and spent time with us today. Encourage the guests. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand now.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.